TD Ameritrade and Western International Securities do not assist in the preparation of this broadcast, and its accuracy and completeness are not guaranteed. The opinions expressed in this report are those of Jerry Sluiswitz, are not necessarily those of TD Ameritrade or Western International Securities or its affiliates or those of this radio station. Any investment discussed may not be suitable for all investors. Investors must make their own decisions based on their own specific investment objective and financial circumstances.
Your financial future is important. You need to make the right choices with your money today. Your Money Talks with financial planner Jerry Sluiswitz will put you on the path to prosperity. Whether it's stocks, bonds, mutual funds, insurance, annuities, or long-term care, Your Money Talks covers it all, including business and personal financial decisions. And now, your host, Jerry Sluiswitz.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Your Money Talks. I am Jerry Sluiswitz, your host for the next half hour here on the Bloomberg Affiliated Network, AM 1450, AM 1510. We're here to talk about money in the markets, financial planning. Talk a little bit about the stock market, bonds, gold, oil, all the investments out there, mutual funds. Talk a little bit about insurance today. Got Ian Corzine coming on. He's a crusader against insurance companies. It's going to be very interesting to have him on the show. S&P 500 is up for the fourth day in a row. Again, there's the Dow Jones Industrial Average, you know, mimicking each other. The Dow's only 30 companies. The S&P 500 is 500 companies. So that's a much broader index out there. Dow's up 55. S&P's up 3.7. NASDAQ's actually down 2 points now. It was actually up a little bit. But the S&P's been up a fourth day in a row, 6 out of 7 up days in a row, and 8 out of 10 days in a row. NASDAQ was also, well, I guess now since it's not up, so it's up 7 out of 10, but it's barely down. The S&P 500 hit a high of 1991.25 this morning. It's at 1990 right now. That 1985 to 1991 was the number I was calling for, 1991.39 to be exact. That I said, boy, that is the resistance zone, and we just kind of cut like through that like a hot knife through butter over the last 4 days. It'll be interesting to see where we close. Kind of interesting. Janet Yellen's on deck tomorrow morning. She's going to speak during the market hours. Now, Yellen has been very well received by the stock market so far. Every time she speaks, she's been very reassuring with her calm demeanor, talking about how interest rates are going to be low, talking about how they're not ready to start raising the rates. But it's very interesting when you talk about, you know, interest rates or bonds, if you will. Bonds, you know, like the Treasury bonds, 2.46 this morning, I believe. Again, it was 2.3 about a week ago, but still off from the 3% it was at the beginning of the year. Bonds don't like economic strength. They love economic weakness. So it makes sense in a strong economy, there's an upward pressure on interest rates. The cost of money is the interest rate, right? So there's upward pressure on the interest rates as the economy recovers. So when Yellen starts talking about, you know, how things are getting stronger in the economy, bond yields usually go up and the prices therefore goes down. In a weakening economy, there's downward pressures on interest rates because it's the cost of money. So if there's going to be less demand for money, there could be a lower interest rate, if you will. So the Fed cuts rates to re-stimulate economic growth. When interest rates and bond yields go down, bond prices go higher. And so the Fed cut interest rates to, you know, near zero in an effort to pull the economy out of this great recession. And then they, you know, since it wasn't strong enough, they hired this quantitative easing, which was almost a negative interest rate. But since December, they've been saying that the economy is now in a sustained recovery. They've been tapering back their bond buying at an impressive pace, if you will. And it's supposed to end in November. So the bond market seems to disagree because bonds since December have gone lower in rate, higher in price. So, you know, which one's right? Are the bonds onto something saying, hey, the economy is not that strong? Now, in the first quarter, we had that negative GDP, so that made sense. But in the second quarter, we had, 4% positive GDP. So it's still seeing a rally in bonds or lower interest rates. So Janet Yellen is going to really try to thread the needle tomorrow, and that could be a pop on this bubble burst, if you will, of this recent 8 out of 10 days up in a row, saying, hey, look, you know, interest rates are staying low. Unless the bonds market's ability to anticipate trouble has gone away, I mean, maybe that's not a true indicator anymore. But I just still think the bond market's seeing the situation quite differently than the Fed, and it's going to be some explaining to do. We had our guest yesterday talking about that, saying, you know, it's kind of a conundrum, if you will, where we're seeing weaker, you know, stronger economy and weaker interest rates, they generally don't correlate together, you know, at all. So very, very interesting. Last week, you know, it was reported producer price index, was up only 0.1% in July. That's a weak indicator. We had 2.1% in April, 2% in May, 1.9% in June, and then only 0.1% in July. Yesterday, we got the consumer price index. You know, it was only up 0.1% in July as well. Still positive, but that was up 2.1% in June. So, you know, was this just a 1 month off that showed this weakness? You know, perhaps not. But you start looking at other factors, okay, besides interest rates. You start looking at crude oil prices. Okay, we're seeing, you go to the gas pump, you're seeing gas prices be lower. That's great. You know, that's really good, actually, but, you know, because gas acts as a tax on us as consumers. But, you know, lower oil prices, lower gas prices maybe usually means lower demand globally for oil, including here in the U.S. You look at gold. Gold's given up its rally attempt. You know, I was very close, you know, talked about gold a couple of times. Gold's been out of favor for over 2 years. And I was saying, yeah, you know, geez, gold's starting to peek its head up, starting to look a little bit better. This was in June into July. And sure enough, since July 10th, when we got almost to $1,300 an ounce, you know, now we're back down to, you know, somewhere around $1,230, $1,250. You know, oil per barrel is down to $93 a barrel on the WTI crude, West Texas crude. So, you know, we're seeing this weakness in gold, weakness in oil, weakness in bond prices, or, you know, bond yields. I mean, not prices, but yield. And you just got to wonder, is this economic problems, or are we in this new nirvana, a new normal? Initial jobless claims, you know, was better than expected. That came out this morning. We went below 300,000, the Maginot line, if you will. We were 298,000 from 312 last week. Continuing claims is 2.5 million from 2.55 million approximately. No special factors on that data, according to the Department of Labor. And the Federal Reserve is going to see this, you know, as you know, potentially showing strength in the economy. They keep saying, well, the jobs market is weak. Well, I don't know. You know, initial jobless claims under 300,000, 350,000 is normal in a normal environment. We've been seeing this level around 300,000 for some time now. So it really is this threading the needle, so to speak, that has to come out by Janet Yellen. It's going to be a very interesting speech tomorrow. It's done during the day. So far, she's been able to placate investors. She's been able to placate concerns. And if she can placate them tomorrow, I think we're going to burst, you know, quite a bit higher. It's going to be a very interesting speech. And the fact that they're doing it during market hours, I remember in past times, this Jackson Hole speech, which is a very famous time, is when quantitative easing was announced for the first time. I think it was back in 2009, 2010. I think it was 2010 by Ben Bernanke. They did that on the weekend. I still also remember when he announced that he was going to end quantitative easing. They did that on a weekend as well. So pretty interesting. So we had some economic news or some stock market news. Hewlett-Packard, HPQ, they posted fiscal third quarter profits in line, and they had revenue growth of 1.3%. Why is that important? Stock's up almost 4%, $1.33 to $36.45. Well, it's the first time in 12 quarters that Hewlett-Packard reported revenue growth. So, you know, that's pretty good. I saw Meg Whitman on CNBC this morning. Stock is making multi-year highs. We haven't seen this level since September 2011. Doing pretty good. Again, showing strength in the economy. We want to see strength in the economy, but at the same time, we want to see these low interest rates. You can't have it both ways. That's why tomorrow is going to be a very big day for Janet Yellen and the Federal Reserve Bank, who I always say is more powerful than the president, because the dollar is the world's reserve currency, and she holds the purse strings for the world's reserve currency. When she talks, people listen. Again, I'm talking right now. I'm Jerry Slusewicz, Your Money Talks, 1-800-449-9501. Call for your free, no obligation portfolio review. It's absolutely free. It's always a good idea to get a second opinion when it comes to your investments. 1-800-449-9501. You can also go to yourmoneytalks.com, sign up for our free email newsletter. We'd be glad to get you on there. As I mentioned at the top of the show, today I have Ian Corzine. He is a managing partner of West Corzine LLP. Their website is www.westcorzinelaw.com. He's in the Los Angeles and covers the Ventura area as well. He's a former federal prosecutor turned crusader against insurance companies. Ian, welcome to Your Money Talks.
Good morning, Jerry. How you doing?
Doing great. Hey, what's your beef against insurance companies?
Well, listen, you were talking about profits and a strong economy. One of the only industries in the nation to survive and have record profits during the recession was the insurance company industry. It's one of the only products in the world where you give thousands of dollars to them and they give you a piece of paper and then they say, try to collect.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that before. There was that movie once a long time ago. It was called Rainmaker, and they said, "Yeah, that's our policy. We just keep denying claims." I guess is that really how it works, though, Ian? That's a standard operating procedure to deny all claims, or was that just Hollywood making fun?
No, that's true. It's funny you say that. I was thinking my next thought was exactly what you just said. You know, many insurance companies, and it's been proven in litigation, have a business practice of denying claims. One involving an insurer in Arizona had a practice of denying claims up to 6 times because they found that their business profits were up when they made these denials of claims, and no one would complain. The insurance would go away. And they wouldn't have to pay up on their policies. So, yes, it is a legitimate, I see it day in, day out, and it doesn't matter what type of insurance policy. It could be a liability policy. It could be a health insurance policy. It could be employer practices policy. One of the first steps that insurance companies take is they deny the claim.
Now, isn't that illegal?
Yes, it is. It depends upon what state you're in, but it can violate standards, regulations, the insurance code. And that's what my job as bad faith insurance litigation attorney is to reverse the trend, to demand that the insurance companies pay up on what they owe. You know, the problem is our clients pay oftentimes thousands and thousands of dollars for insurance premiums and get nothing out of them. Sometimes insurance companies actually sell policies to insureds that they don't need. I have one example of an insured who is a wealthy man who was sold a very expensive homeowner's policy, and then when it came time to collect because the home burned down, they denied all coverage and all the excessive coverages that he purchased. So, it's a real legitimate problem that, you know, I really regret. I'm a product of a small business family. My father had multiple times of insurance denials, one involving an embezzlement situation, and it's close to home. So that's what I do.
So Ian, yeah, what you do? Let's go back here again. You're Ian Corzine, managing partner of West Corzine LLP. So you're a lawyer, correct?
That
helps people that have claims against insurers that can't collect their claim against an insurance company. Please explain that to us.
Yeah, exactly. You know, what the practice is we represent insureds, people who have purchased insurance policies against their insurers, and we have two different kinds of structures for our help. First is we're the first call. So, God forbid, your home has a large water leak, and you're thinking, oh, I got to report it to my broker or to my insurance carrier. One of the things we recommend is you call an attorney. You call us, spend 5 minutes with us so that we can prep you for submitting the claim. It's kind of an unfair game. The insurance adjusters, when you call them, are looking for keywords and are looking to elicit from you keywords that will allow them to deny the claim. if you call us, we can give you an appraisal of the whole circumstances of the claim, and then be able to communicate them to you so that you can get it better submitted and hopefully accepted. The second part is oftentimes once you do that, the insurance company still denies. And they say, listen, what are you going to do about it? You're some small business owner or small homeowner. You don't have the means to sue us. And oftentimes we will then have to commence litigation against the insurance company to force them to comply with the policy and also pay for the bad faith involved in not handling the claim properly.
So, Ian, that first call, you said, 5 minutes and you give them some advice in terms of do they have to have you on retainer, or is that something that you could just do pro bono? How's that work?
Yeah, that's something we do pro bono for free. Again, we're crusaders. We're trying to protect the policyholder, and get the best value for your money. So, yes, that phone call, that couple follow-up, that review of the policy for a few moments, that's all free. Then we give you your options, and then we say, listen, this is what we think is going to happen. Or sometimes we say, listen, we don't think it's covered. Under California law right now, that particular issue is not covered by insurance policies, and therefore we give you that advice too. But we just, one of the big lessons that we always talk to our insureds about is calling an attorney or an insurance professional first, before you go to your broker, before you go to the insurance carrier, and then of course also taking tons and tons of photos. And I don't care if it's a employee practices claim or if it's a large building loss claim. These days we all have these cell phones. We encourage our insurers to take tons and tons of photos, because oftentimes it is the key to victory against the insurance companies and getting covered.
That makes a lot of sense. Ian, just real quickly here, give your number out, because you've made some points and you said, hey, look, you'll talk to somebody, you just assess their situation in five minutes and say, hey, you've got a claim or you don't have a claim, and you're saying call you before calling your insurance company. How does someone reach you? Give your number and your website, please.
Sure. The phone number is 805-388-5887, 805-388-5887. And again, our website is www.westcorzinelaw.com, www.westcorzinelaw.com. Real easy to search on the internet. Oftentimes, contacting us via our website is a great resource. We have some various discussions on there about coverages that the insurance and policyholders might be interested in reading. And then they can feel free to give us a call or send us an email, and we'll certainly do what we can to help them.
Yeah, West is, like the direction, W-E-S-T, Corzine, C-O-R-Z-I-N-E, law.com, because you're lawyers, westcorzinelaw.com.
Yes.
Now, who should call you? Who do you work with, Ian? I mean, do you work with the individuals? Do you work with business owners? Do you work with large corporations? Who do you work with?
Well, you know what? We encourage anybody to give us a call. However, it tends to be larger corporations or small businesses in the area. And the reason why is the value of the claim makes sense. Let's be real here. Legal services cost money, and oftentimes we are counseling our insureds, saying, "Listen, this is you're going to have to make a business judgment rule on the situation. It's going to cost this much to pursue this insurance company. It's going to cost this much to fix your leak." Oftentimes, the larger claims are the ones that make more sense to go to extravagant lengths to fight. So oftentimes our business is mostly small businesses and larger businesses.
So, and you'll be able to help assess that. You say, hey, look, you've got a claim, you've got a good claim, or you don't have as good a claim, and you figure that all out ahead of time, and then you figure out whether or not you can work if you have to litigate, or if you can go through arbitration or whatever, some sort of deal, or
exactly.
Force them to settle, correct?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. That's the first step, and we are very, very happy to do that. There have been times where we've counseled insurers to go to small claims court, because you know what? Oftentimes you forget. You think small claims court is just an area where you sue another homeowner or a neighbor or something for a dispute. Well, you can bring insurance companies to justice at small claims court, too. So we really recommend the whole spectrum of means to be able to make your insurance company pay what they owe you for all the thousands you paid over the years. And if you think about it, gosh, how many insurance claims have you made, and how many years have you paid for insurance? They're making a bundle, and it's time for you, the policyholder, to be able to get what you deserve.
Yeah, I mean, very few people make claims as a percentage basis. And then if they do make a claim, if they're getting denied, that's horrible. Give us a couple examples of people you've helped.
Sure. You know what? A good example, we recently were representing a commercial landlord. He had a building where a tenant was leaving. Of course, there's a requirement that you put the building back in the same condition you found it. The tenant didn't do that. Luckily, since we've been representing the landlord, we told him, listen, take a lot of photos. Make sure you have an example of what the conditions were before they left. He did that, thankfully, and as a result, we were able to find out that there were a lot of construction defects that the tenant caused. So what we did is we pursued the tenant, and we said, listen, you not only owe us for these construction repairs, but you also owe us for these defects. They tendered to their insurance company, meaning they said they submit a claim to their commercial general liability insurance company, and that claim was accepted because generally construction defects are covered under your liability policy. And as a result, my client got a good result. He got his deposit back, or got to keep the deposit, and also he got paid for the construction defects that the tenant caused. So that's one example. Another example was a homeowner. There was a larger home in the valley, San Fernando Valley, and he actually had an under his concrete slab leak. The leak came up and made his floor a little wet, but there wasn't much damage. As a result, he didn't report to his insurance company. Later, about a year later, half of his living room was actually sliding down the canyon. He finally made the claim. The insurance company denied. It said, listen, that's too late a notice. You should have given us notice the year before. He said, listen, I didn't have damage the year before. They still denied. He got us involved, and luckily, we were able to get him three times what he expected. He ended up paying $50,000 for his repairs, but he got a substantial amount back from the insurance company because we were able to prove that there was no damage, so there was no reporting requirement. And additionally, the damage that was caused was something that was covered under the policy. So that's another example of what we're doing day in, day out.
Hmm. Yeah, that's good stuff. Ian, any other cases that you could mention?
Yeah, well, I mean, for sure, I think, you know, there's a variety, a big spectrum. Recent one we had was we actually were representing an employer. They had a situation where they had an employee kind of quit in a huff. Was very frustrated, obviously saw counsel, employment counsel, and the next step in that process was a wage and hour claim, which is a very, very popular lawsuit these days, especially in California. That's basically saying, listen, an employee that gets a salary is not exempt from the FLSA, and as a result, they're entitled to a substantial amount of overtime because they worked longer than 8 hours a day. Well, generally, that's not covered, and luckily, our client employer gave us a call, and we said, listen, you still got to make the claim. We know it's not generally covered, but these things ripen. What ends up happening is later on in time, the lawsuit blossoms, and more claims come, and those claims may be covered. So we gave the advice to the employer to make the claim, get it denied by the insurance company. Lo and behold, probably about 3 months later, the complaint by the employee was amended with a wrongful termination cause of action, and that was covered. And as a result, thank God, the employer got coverage of the whole lawsuit and was able to negotiate a settlement and get out of it. So that's typically those are some examples of the cases that we handle on a day-to-day basis for sure.
So basically, Ian, if I understand this, that if you've got a loss or a claim that you think is going to go against your insurance company, the best thing to do would be to contact you first before contacting your insurance agent or your insurance broker. Contact you, and you'll quickly assess the situation and tell them, you know, how to speak to them because they're looking for the keywords. The other thing you're saying is that photos are ultra important.
Yes.
Just to use your camera, use your cell phone and take photos, to help identify here's the problem as it's breaking loose, to help mitigate the loss and understand exactly, what the claim is. And that then get a hold of you, Ian Corzine of West Corzine Law, and you guys can help negotiate a settlement. Have I got that kind of assessed correctly?
You did it perfectly. It sounds like you're an insurance attorney or something. Yeah, that's exactly
I'm on the
other
side.
I'm the agent,
but it's more like life, health, you know, long-term care, those type of things. And they do pay on those, I got to tell you.
Yeah,
that's why I was
kind
of like, going on top of the show, I was introducing. I said, well, he's against insurance companies. I go, I sell insurance, so we got to see where this is because maybe there's not a meeting of the minds. But you're talking more property casualty and that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah, that's true. And those are really the four lessons to remember. Call someone that you trust in the insurance industry to give you an appraisal of the claim first. The second thing is take photos. The third thing is to do your best to correct the loss. If there's a leak coming down from your ceiling, do your best to protect it so that you can get some coverage for it. And then the fourth thing, and this is probably the most important, is I talk to my clients and I say, listen, just understand that the insurance claim process is a negotiation. It is not a situation where you say, here's a legitimate cost for repair of whatever the condition is, and the insurance company is going to pay for it. No, they're always going to come back with a lesser amount. So you have to manage your expectations and get prepared, I hate to say it, for battle.
Yeah, it's a negotiation, and everything's negotiable. Don't take their first offer. Ian, now you're up in the valley. You handle L.A. and Ventura, but you're a crusader. Do you help people Inland Empire, San Diego County, Orange County as well?
Oh, of course. Yeah, we have clients that stem all across the country, actually. Because of our specialty and the fact that it's kind of a narrow niche, we handle claims. Actually, I have a claim right now that's going on in Ontario, Canada. So, yes, we're nationwide.
Okay, nationwide and international. Canada's that other country. Sometimes we think that they're just our little brother. give that number out again one more time. How do they reach you?
Sure. 805-388-5887. 805-388-5887. And again, it's West Corzine Law. WESTCORZ as in zebra, INELAW.com.
Yeah, Ian, hey, thanks again for your informative approach and your crusade against insurance companies that are just trying to, you know, put their thumb down on the common man and the common businessman as well. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, Jerry. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah. All right. Again, Ian Corzine, www.westcorzinelaw.com, C-O-R-Z-I-N-E, westcorzinelaw.com, and 805-388-5887. You can always call me, Jerry Slusewitz, Pacific Financial, 1-800-449-9501. You know, it's unfortunate. You know, I talk to my kids and I say, you know, unfortunately, everybody kind of needs an attorney, and you need an attorney for different specialties. And you get to end up, you know, in some sort of claim, you know, for whether again, he gave a lot of different examples. I mean, he gave a home, a business, a company type claim. Insurance does get involved in all that, in property and casualty. He can help you. There's no doubt about it. Speaking of help, the market seems to be getting a little help of the anticipation of Janet Yellen speaking tomorrow. S&P's up 5, 1991.87, new all-time high. Dow is also up 70 points right now. For some reason, the NASDAQ slightly down just around a point, but the market is breaking out to a new all-time high today on the S&P, at least on an intraday basis. That's good news. I mean, these were the numbers I was looking for. We are breaking back above those levels. Once again, if you've been sitting on the sidelines waiting for the correction, we didn't get much of one. It was a maybe 4%, I think, at the most on that downturn from the previous high. And sure enough, we turned right around 3 weeks up in a row. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to close the week higher, but we're certainly almost 2% higher, 1.86%. I don't think Janet Yellen's going to screw this up tomorrow. I really don't. She has been very well liked by the market since she took over in January. So markets breaking out to new highs. Very important that you have a plan for participation and protection. It is going higher right now. You want to participate in the uptrend of the market. If you're under participating, call our office, 1-800-449-9501. I'm Jerry Slusewitz, host of this program, Your Money Talks, Pacific Financial Planners, managing money for individuals for over 25 years. You want to also make sure that your participation plan has an exit strategy, a plan for protection as well. While it is going up today, at some point, that will stop. 1-800-449-9501. That's toll free. You're free. No obligation. Portfolio review. YourMoneyTalks.com. And tune in tomorrow for more Your Money Talks. Have a great day, everybody.
TD Ameritrade and Western International Securities do not assist in the preparation of this broadcast, and its accuracy and completeness are not guaranteed. The opinions expressed in this report are those of Jerry Sluswitz, are not necessarily those of TD Ameritrade or Western International Securities or its affiliates or those of this radio station. Any investment discussed may not be suitable for all investors. Investors must make their own decisions based on their own specific investment objective and financial circumstances. Always discuss your situation with a financial advisor before committing to any investment decision.
This is Financial News and Talk on the Astor Broadcast Stations, AM 1450, KFSD, Escondido.